watching interest rates and watching that president, Silvio Berlusconi, a dramatic 24 hours in Rome after surviving more than 50 votes of confidence. Berlusconi has now agreed to leave the political stage. He's dominated the nation for almost two decades. He's Europe's longest-serving national leader. Queen Elizabeth doesn't strictly count. No one actually voted for her. So as his period of public office appears to be drawing to a close, David Willey, the longtime Rome correspondent for our partner, the BBC, has this reminder and remembrance of Berlusconi's remarkable impact and colorful career.
C'è un grande sogno che vive in noi. Siamo la gente della libertà.
The election jingle, "Thank goodness Silvio exists," was typical of the man. Silvio Berlusconi, first crooner on a cruise ship, then business entrepreneur, building speculator, TV magnate, football club owner, finally Prime Minister of Italy three times, and the centre of scandal and even perhaps envy over his wealth and his extramatrimonial activities. It's difficult to ignore the effect his entry into politics in the early 1990s has had on his country. He's his own spin doctor, claims to have been Italy's best prime minister since the country united 150 years ago, and even now, at the height of the Eurozone debt crisis, boasts that there's nothing basically wrong with the economy of a country where the restaurants are always full. And the soup kitchens also, patronised by the hungry, was the ironic comment of some Italians who are getting really tired of Berlusconi rhetoric.
The biggest single reason why he was able to get away with lying was because he was able to choose the forum where he made his pronouncements.
James Walston teaches political science at the American University in Rome.
He had friendly journalists, friendly politicians, and was never contradicted directly. On the rare occasions when he was subsequently contradicted and it appeared that he hadn't been telling the truth, he was able to adjust the past.
Mr. Berlusconi has become famous for his gaffes when attending important foreign summits. But, always ready for a joke, he denies ever having infringed any rules of international etiquette.
Le gaffe non ne ho fatte alcuna, nemmeno una.
I have never made any gaffes, not even one. Every gaffe is invented by the newspapers, and if you want, I can give you a few examples. The last time they said that I called out loudly to Obama during a meeting at Buckingham Palace. It was relaxed, we were laughing. It was not a formal thing. And when I saw Obama, whom I had not seen since our meeting in the US, I looked at him and said,
"Mr. Obama, I suppose."
And he said, "Mr. Berlusconi, I suppose." We smiled and greeted each other. But if then the media chose to use only the Mr. Obama line, clearly they just say what they want.
But Silvio Berlusconi's time in office has been tainted by scandals. He's still before the courts on fraud and corruption charges, and titillating details of his extramarital affairs have filled the pages of Italian papers for years now. Franco Pavoncello is the president of John Cabot University in Rome.
I believe that what will be remembered of those scandals is he succeeded in facing off the judges, facing off justice, and turning his own private history and private problems into a political issue, therefore protecting himself from facing justice.
Silvio Berlusconi will be remembered as someone who came in and changed the Italian political system, whether for better or for worse. Only history can judge. But no one can ignore the role of the TV mogul in moulding Italy's 21st century consumer society.
The BBC's David Willey with a remembrance of Silvio Berlusconi, whose time in power appears to be down to hours, if not days. The turmoil this morning continues in Italy. Berlusconi's announcement that he will quit has not had much of an impact on financial markets. So joining us from Rome is Hugh Sykes from our partner, the BBC. Hugh, good morning.
Buongiorno, Nova York. Hello, John.
Hello. The number seven figures prominently in your reality this morning. Explain why the 7% interest rate spike on Italian debt seems to be accelerating this whole crisis.
Well, this is really difficult to explain in a way, because there's a huge amount of groupthink among the markets. A lot of people here think that Italy is being taken to the cleaners by lots of people who are simply gambling on the international money casino. If you look at the fundamentals of Italy, the economy here is really quite good. The budget deficit isn't too bad at all. There's a lot of expenditure on social programs, but there are also a lot of very, very vibrant, successful industries here. I mean, just think of the tag "Made in Italy." It makes you smile. You think of beautiful shoes, beautiful clothes, la bella figura, fantastic cars, aircraft, and there are all sorts of industries supporting those industries. For example, I went to see one in Piacenza recently called Jobs, no relation to Steve, and they make machine tools, and the machine tools make the parts of nearly every train, car, and plane that you've ever traveled in. So there's an enormous amount of success here as well.
Right.
People think that it's extremely unfair to be judged by Standard & Poor's and Moody's, who don't really know what's going on inside this country, and all they're looking at are the figures on the international casino.
We're talking with Hugh Sykes from our partner, the BBC, on the streets of Rome, where, in addition to fast cars, the irritating car horns can be heard there. Is there a sense, Hugh Sykes, on the streets that people are glad to see Berlusconi going, or glad that this is finally going to be over with, or is it a sense of being taken over by the Eurozone bankers?
There's a mix. Some people say, thank God he's going, good riddance, but he hasn't actually gone yet. Don't forget, this is quite clever. He hasn't gone. He says he's going to go when the economic reforms are put in place, and we don't know when that's going to happen. But there are other people who say it's not going to make any difference. One man I just spoke to in passing said there's nobody on the left or the right or the center who's any good anymore. What we need is a government of technocrats. And that gets back to the pressure being put on by the European Central Bank and the IMF for Italy to get its accounts fully and properly in order. And, you know, I think that may be what happens here in the end.
Do you think people expect austerity to come before we go?
Yes, and there's a lot of worry here, especially in the south of Italy, which is almost a different country. There's massive unemployment in the south. It's about 10% higher than it is in the north, around about 30% in the south. There's a lot of child poverty. I've just been to see Save the Children Fund, Save the Children Italy, and they say there's a lot of child poverty here, which has been made much worse because the job availability for single mothers will go down if austerity programs are brought in. So austerity is the medicine that makes the patient more sick instead of getting better.
Serious social concerns there in Italy as the political changing of the guard continues. Hugh Sykes, correspondent for our partner, the BBC.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.